Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word became flesh. Those are the words that John uses to describe what we're gathered to celebrate and to ponder this morning. The Word became flesh. Do you think that's how Mary saw it? Do you think Mary was thinking that as she held her brand new baby boy next to her face on that first Christmas? I sort of don't think so, but I could be wrong. After all, we know that Mary received the word of the Lord from the angel Gabriel, and she did all that the Lord asked of her in becoming pregnant, apart from her promised husband, Joseph. So maybe, yes, maybe, she did have an awareness that this baby boy was the Word of God made flesh. And if she did, as she held him close, she got to smell the Word of God. I love the smell of babies. I see a lot of smiles out there. There's something unique about them that gives them an aroma that is unmatched anywhere else. This baby that Mary holds has that aroma about him. And it's the aroma of the Word of God made flesh. I have no doubt that Mary understood her baby to be real flesh and blood because that's how he smelled. This was not just some mask or party costume that God put on to play with us for a while. No, what happened that first Christmas is that this baby was like every other baby born in this world. He had that unique smell that told Mary that this was her son, her baby, her boy. And that baby boy, John tells us today, is God's Word become flesh. This is the incarnation. In the letter to the Hebrews, we heard that God brings his firstborn son into the world to speak to us in a fresh way, a way not done before. And in his arrival in this humble and beautifully mysterious way through Mary, God speaks to us. We understand in the breath and the smell of this infant child that he is Emmanuel, God with us. The Word becoming flesh in Mary's baby boy touches the world, touches us all in a new way. His infant cries speak to us in a voice that God has not used with his creation before. Hebrews says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. God means to get our attention like he has never done before. A new baby is the newest thing that we can experience. God wants us to experience newness of life through his firstborn and only begotten son, the baby that Mary holds. It's one of the joys of my vocation that I get to hold new babies. And I get to breathe in that unique smell. And when I do, I'm reminded of these words of the gospel writer. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. God came and lived among us, became as we are, became incarnate, so that we could know him. Remember that during Advent, we've been talking about the symbols of the season that help us to understand that God keeps his word. Like those signs, the smell, the touch and the sound of this baby communicate to us that this very real baby boy is God in our flesh. Again, Emmanuel. He shows himself to be the true substance of God in the true human nature, in true human nature, so that we can know that God himself, as Hebrews said, God himself is speaking to us. Christ wasn't born for some abstract reason. Jesus wasn't born, his being born wasn't done as some intellectual exercise by the divinity so he could act out some cosmic game. That phrase, made his dwelling among us, is what Emmanuel truly means, God with us. Christ didn't come in the abstract. He was incarnate, that is, he came in the flesh. And it's only by his coming in the flesh that he could come and do for you and I what was needed to be done. Only Emmanuel, only God with us could come and die. Only a true human can die. Christ truly being born in our flesh means that Christ truly can die in our place. The birth of Jesus in a lowly manger dramatically shows that God loves all people the same. Imagine if Jesus had been born in a palace. Maybe the wise men could have gotten in, but the shepherds certainly would have been turned away at the gates. Yet at the lowly manger, shepherds and kings could approach on an equal footing. God's gift of life through the death and resurrection of his only begotten Son is for all people, the entire world. God in his love did not send down a delegation, a committee, or an unapproachable monarch, but a little baby boy. If Jesus was only spirit and not true flesh and blood, then his birth and consequently his death would mean absolutely nothing. And if he was only a man with sin and guilt, as you and I are, then again his death would mean nothing for you and me. If he was not the Word of God made flesh, if he was not Emmanuel, then his death and resurrection would not count for the sins of the world. Again, as we said, all throughout Advent, we've looked at the symbols of the season that speak to us of God keeping his promise. And today we celebrate the great promise of all, the greatest promise of all, that the Word of God became flesh and made his dwelling among us, so that he could die and rise again for us. Let me give you an idea of what the incarnation means for us by telling you a little story about a farmer in Tennessee. One winter evening, just before dark, he heard something hit the bay window in the dining room. He went to investigate and saw a small bird flying into the window repeatedly. Go ahead and change it one more time. Further out in the yard, he saw a whole flock of little songbirds. And he realized that these birds were migrating south, and they had been caught by an early snowfall. They were cold, and they were scratching the thin snow in search of food. One bird had seen the light and had tried to get into the house. Gave the farmer an idea. He had a large barn where the birds would be safe and warm, and there was plenty of hay on the floor so they could find seed. So he put on his coat to go out and open the barn doors. He did, but the birds did not come in. He turned on a light, hoping that would attract them. No luck. He sprinkled seed on the ground to make a path for them. They ate some of the seed, but they wouldn't go near the barn. Fearing for their safety, he decided to make one more drastic measure. He planned to circle around behind the flock and chase them into the barn. That was a flop. They were birds. They didn't care. So after running himself ragged, he dropped to his knees on the snow. Finally, a thought occurred to him. If only I were a bird, then I could tell them about the warm barn and the seed. I could save their lives. That's what Jesus' incarnation at Christmas means. Christmas is God telling us that he has come in the flesh to save us. Christmas goes beyond the symbols of the season to its substance, to the smell, the touch, the sound of the Word become flesh and dwelling now among us. Emmanuel, God with us, is the substance of Christmas. The smell of new life is what Mary smells on her baby boy today. And that smell of new life is what she knew when she held her baby boy 33 years later on that first Easter morning as well. And that smell and touch which she experienced on Easter truly means new life, life eternal for us in Jesus' resurrection. God wanted to get our attention, and he wanted to grant us new life that he gives us each and every day, not just on Christmas and Easter time, but every single day. Mary holds her baby boy this day and breathes in his smell, the smell of God with us, of the Word become flesh. Babies remind us of that truth. Babies remind us that God came to us to save us. He lived with us. He died. And he rose again with new life for us so that we could live forever with him. The Word became flesh. He is Emmanuel, God with us now and forever. In the name of the newborn Jesus, we pray. Amen. May the words of our